Well, this week, the latest official wages update showed workers are still not seeing any meaningful growth in their pay packets. But the leaders of our biggest businesses say that the government's company tax cuts will help reverse that trend. Yesterday on this program, we heard from the chiefs of the world's biggest mining company, BHP Billiton, and Australia's biggest private sector employer, Wesfarmers, which owns retailers like Bunnings, Coles and Kmart.
For me, the tax cuts and why I'm arguing in favour of tax cuts is all about our employees. And I just don't think it's fair that our employees should work for a company that is disadvantaged relative to our international competitors. We compete head-to-head with some of the largest international retailers every day here in Australia. And I don't think it's fair that our employees should work for a company that has a disadvantage in terms of its tax. So frankly, this isn't a business issue for me. This is an issue for Australia's competitiveness, and it's an issue for the workers of Australia.
That's the Managing Director of Wesfarmers, Rob Scott, speaking to us here on Breakfast yesterday morning. It's a message the federal government is also keen to sell as Malcolm Turnbull prepares to sit down with Donald Trump at the White House tonight. The PM is expected to compare notes with the US president on the American experience of tax reform, which US economists say have boosted wages there. Sally McManus is Secretary of the ACTU. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hamish.
You heard what Rob Scott from Wesfarmers said there on Breakfast. The goalposts are shifting. Our businesses are operating in an increasingly global world. He calls it an issue for the workers of Australia. Do you buy his argument?
I mean, please. I mean, he just said that the reason why they want tax cuts is because of their workers. I mean, we don't buy that at all. I reckon they've just tried to get their lines right because the old lines weren't working.
But hold on, why not buy it? I mean, he is arguing that as the employer of 230,000 Australians, this would help them to pass on better wages.
Listen, all these companies are making record profits, all of them. They're all doing very, very well at the moment, yet wages are at record lows. They're at 2%. Company profits are up 25%.
Wesfarmers is not. We just talked about their half-yearly profits yesterday. They're facing a pretty bleak picture.
Oh, look, Wesfarmers also, what's their actual real amount of tax they pay at the moment?
They are not making record profits, which is the assertion you just put. I need to pick you up on that because they're not.
Well, businesses as a whole are making record profits. It's up 25% and wages are up 2%. There's a big gap there. And BHP, for example, they're not paying, you know, the tax that they should be paying. So when they say, oh, more tax cuts will lead to, wages growth or more jobs. Well, why isn't it leading to wages growth and more jobs now if they're not paying any tax at all?
Sorry, are you alleging wrongdoing here?
Oh, I'm saying that the laws allow them to do that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're breaking the laws. I'm just saying our laws need to change. They are wrong if companies get away with paying less tax than you or me.
I'm just trying to understand, though. Wesfarmers employs 230,000 Australians. They're saying that these corporate tax cuts would help them pay their staff higher wages. I'm trying to understand why you don't believe that.
Well, I don't believe it because it's never been true. Wealth has only trickled down where workers have made it so. So in the past, where we've been able to negotiate pay rises, we've had enough power to negotiate pay rises, where we've got superannuation or Medicare, those were all times where working people got wealth to trickle down. It wasn't because the CEO said, oh, listen, we'll give our workers a pay rise. You know, in the end, they will look after their profits, number one, which is their job, and often their bonuses before they'll look after the workers. And so I don't believe those CEOs when they say, give us pay rises and we'll trickle it down to the workers.
Several companies in the United States have already said that they are giving workers higher wages or even bonuses following Donald Trump's tax cuts there. Why are you so certain that the same thing won't happen here?
Well, don't you think it's a bit wrong that we should, you know, be happy when Walmart gives their workers a bonus? Walmart, where people aren't even earning a living wage to live on, and that we should be happy that a bonus comes down, not even a proper pay rise, when those companies are doing very, very well. Like, in the end, all we want is something simple. We just want our fair share. We want to be able to get pay rises that keep up with the cost of living and reflect the profits that are happening, and we want companies to pay their fair share of tax. That's it. It's very reasonable. And I think that their arguments about further tax cuts are actually going to make inequality much worse.
Do you accept the argument that Rob Scott puts, that these big Australian companies are facing, are on an unfair playing field against international companies in that sense?
Well, two things about that. First of all, we've got to look at the tax they're actually paying, not the tax that they're meant to be paying. So if you look at that, their actual real tax rates are not uncompetitive at all compared to the rest of the world. So, that's, number one. Number two, every time they say they want, to pay even less tax than they currently are, that's our schools and that's our hospitals, that we depend on everyone to pay tax so that we've got that. So they're actually taking money away from all of us when they don't pay tax. Even if they gave us a smaller number of pay rises, we end up paying for it in terms of increased costs in our health system and increased costs in our education system.
Sure. I'm just not sure whether that answers the question, though. I mean, he was talking in the context of competition from something like Amazon, for example, which has just started to compete with them in this particular market. I mean, they're not on level playing fields.
Well, they actually do have a real tax rate pretty much the same as the rest of the world. So they're not doing badly, even though they try and say they are. But if you follow the logic of that argument, if you follow that logic and you keep cutting taxes and we keep doing that around the world, who is going to be paying for our services? We will be. Working people will be. We'll be the only people paying for it. So even if you accepted that they're all paying the tax that they should under what our laws, the rate that it says they should be, even if we accept that, we can't be in a situation where, some people are paying tax and other people aren't.
Let's turn to the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. Malcolm Turnbull's expected to raise that in his talks with the US president overnight tonight. The ACTU's been pretty vocal in its criticism of this deal, in particular the impact on the labour market. What's your primary concern there?
We've got two primary concerns, but to start with the labour market one, which is a really big one. Essentially, that agreement will allow companies to bring in workers from six countries without going through labour market testing, which basically means testing to see whether or not a local can do the job first. So it's changing our immigration laws or our working visa laws so that a whole lot of more workers can come in without first seeing whether a local can do the job. And we absolutely oppose that. We think it's wrong that companies should be allowed to do that. We think that locals should always get a chance to work, first of all, especially where we've still got high unemployment and we've still got massive amount of underemployment, and especially in regional areas. Our second issue is to do with the fact that this agreement will allow companies to sue our governments if we decide, the people of Australia decide to pass laws that they don't like or aren't in their interests. And we believe that's a fundamental attack on our democracy and is something that should never be in free trade agreements.
We spoke to the Trade Minister, Steve Chobo, yesterday. He pretty roundly rejected the criticisms of the deal on the question of labour market issues. Let's just listen to what he had to say.
This issue of labour market testing, in the main, involves what are called intra-corporate transfers. That is, for those workers who work for a business in one country that's looking at then relocating that worker to the same business in a different market. That's what actually most of this is in relation to. So, again, we've got to make sure we deal with the facts and not with a lot of the scare campaign, frankly, that the union movement in particular has brought into the debate around this issue.
Steve Chobo speaking there on the program yesterday. Would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, two things. The problem is we already see how free trade agreements operate around the world where they've got these exact same provisions. So, for example, companies will bring in whole workforces to build infrastructure. So let's say a Chinese-based company wins the right to build a stadium. They bring in their own workers to do so. So if he's somehow saying that this is a different agreement and it'll only be a very small number of people and it'll only be, the chief financial officer that comes over, well, fine, let's define that and let's say that that's the case. If they cannot say that that's the case, we have no confidence because we see the track record of these free trade agreements and we know that that's what companies want and we know that companies have been in there negotiating them. So I put it back to him. to absolutely clarify that it's a small section of people at a high level that will be the only people affected by this, because I just really don't believe what he said.
Tony Abbott has been talking this week about immigration, migration. He gave a speech. He said it's hard to avoid the conclusion that temporary skilled visas have been a factor in allowing Australian business to neglect training and to keep wages down. I mean, it sounds pretty similar to a lot of the stuff you're saying.
Well, we've got a problem where 1 in 10 workers are now on temporary work visas. And it's not, you know, those workers' fault that they've been exploited. And we see not everyone on a visa, obviously, but unfortunately we see lots and lots of examples over and over again of this happening. And
so do you support Tony Abbott's call to cut migration or reduce the levels?
No, not to cut migration. What we think is that our temporary visa system should operate where there's genuine skill shortages. At the moment, it's not. And then it's been abused because it's not been properly policed, and it's set up in a way that allows employers to do what they're currently doing. It is leading to the fact, what he is right about, is that it means that, you know, employers don't have to train up young people, you know, because instead they just get a worker from overseas and outsource our responsibility to another country. And I think that that's absolutely wrong. I think it's really a terrible thing in regional towns that you have, say, for example, meatworks that operate. A lot of those places, 70% of the workers are on temporary work visas. That's just wrong.
Very quickly before we go, we've got this hugely polarising issue in Australia right now about sexual relationships in the workplace. Our listeners are enormously divided on the matter of whether you try and regulate these sorts of things. Politics aside, Barnaby Joyce aside, what's your union-based view of sexual relationships with employees when it involves a boss? Should that sort of thing be regulated or banned?
Well, first of all, we shouldn't conflate sexual harassment with consensual relationships, first of all. And if we're talking about consensual relationships, your employer is not buying, you know, your heart. They're buying your labour. And so I don't think it's right to then impose these other limits on people's freedom to say that you can't have, you know, sexual relations with the people you work with. In fact, so many people find their future partners at work. I think that that's a really quite a ridiculous idea and a wrong idea, and it infringes on workers' freedom to do so. Sexual harassment, of course, is a totally different matter, and there should be strong laws about that, but we shouldn't get confused with the two, and I don't think there's an issue in terms of, you know, so long as people are, you know, following what they're required to do at work, if they're having a relationship, so what?
Sally McManus, thank you very much for your time this morning.
No worries.
That's the Secretary of the ACTU, Sally McManus.